Coming up next on Pedal the Springs podcast, a preview of the biggest cycling events hitting the Pikes Peak region this summer. From the Pikes Peak Apex to the return of the grassroots racing with Wednesday Worlds, we're talking with the organizers making it all happen. Big races, local impact, and a look at the cycling events putting Colorado Springs on the map as a cycling destination.
This is Peak Community, Studio 809 Podcast.
Welcome and roll on into the Pedal the Springs podcast, where we banter about all things biking in Colorado Springs and the Pikes Peak region. I'm your host, Tori Giffen, self-appointed ambassador for cycling in the Springs and the owner of the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. And what I don't know about biking in this area, my friends do. And here are today's guests. Are you ready, guys? Let's open them.
Right.
This is how we really like to podcast. Ooh, we shook that up a little bit for you.
Mike, yes.
Spray on there.
A little spray.
Thank you
there.
To our lodge bar for our local brews here today and drinks. It's a way to get the show started. So today's guests are my buddy Jason Middlemiss, and Jason is the organizer and the event creator of the Rampart Rager. Race director for that. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you very much, Tori. Appreciate it.
And then you're just kind of bringing something back from before, right?
Yeah, it was an old school thing that Andy Bowman did back in the day. You know, it was great for the community. Wednesday night racing. I wasn't sure if he was doing it on Wednesdays or Tuesdays, but it's midweek racing, grassroots community. You know, it's not a UCI event or necessarily a USA Cycling event. It's just a bunch of locals.
It all starts this summer.
Oh, totally.
It all starts this summer. And you're also the one who started the Rampart Rager many years ago, which is a great local gravel race that goes up Rampart Road, now from the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. And we put that on in conjunction with our buddy Daniel Matheny over here, Matheny Endurance Coach. Yeah. Welcome, friend. And you're also involved in the Wednesday Worlds, yes?
Kind of helping out, yeah. It's been something where having a group of athletes that I coach day in and day out, it's something that we've been missing since the previous series. And so I know Jason kicked it off because I've got several things on my plate, but it's like trying to help him get some courses and stuff dialed in and maybe some sponsorship and just keep it rolling so there's something for people to do on the local scene.
And then our other connection here is that you also are the course director and help plan the routes for the Pikes Peak Apex race, yes? And Micah Rice is the executive director for the Pikes Peak Apex, put on by Sports Corp now, correct?
Yeah, good to be here. And we have a good team at the Sports Corp that really is kind of the muscle that puts on this multi-day event. And then we're going into our seventh year. I've been running it, so pretty exciting.
So tell me about this. So what is going on that we're seeing more of these events in Colorado Springs? Are we bringing them back?
I'd like to think so. I remember, as I said, 7 years with Pikes Peak Apex, and when we started the Apex, there really weren't any other bicycle races going on in Colorado Springs, which is crazy for an area that has, you know, almost 500,000 people in it. So I'm really excited to see Wednesday Worlds coming back. I actually participated in a few of those back when Andy Bowman did it. Also Rampart Rager is a great addition. And so I'm excited to kind of see a lot of these other events kind of popping up. I think that only kind of helps the entire cycling ecosystem here in town.
Because not only do we have a lot of people, but we have a lot of mountain here and a lot of different variety of terrain. I mean, that's what I hear from everybody, that you have more variety of terrain to bike in Colorado Springs than you can get in any one place anywhere else. Am I right?
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique because we have obviously the foothills of the Pikes Peak, which we race on with, you know, the Apex goes there for the one-day mountain bike race. We touch into it with the long gravel course, the Queen of the Canyons, also like Rampart Rager goes there. But then within the city, we have all the parks of Ute Valley, Palmer Park, Bear Creek, Shine Mountain State Park, Austin Bluffs Open Space, and Pulpit Rock. So it's like we can kind of jump around a little bit and have that differences of terrain, texture, conditions, I guess, all across the city.
So let's talk about the Wednesday Worlds first. Like, what made you bring this event back, and what is that going to look like this year?
Well, part of it was, obviously, there's a demand. You know, Daniel and Micah used to do it back in the day, and everyone's been talking about it, there's, you know, for years, you know, when after Andy Bowman stepped down and stopped doing it. And Curvin and all these other people are like, hey, let's get some local mountain bike races. And Micah definitely stepped up with, you know, the Apex, which is world class. And so this is more of a grassroots. Wednesday is the best time to ride hard in between your Saturday and Saturday race, because Thursday and Friday you might have to recover. Daniel, tell me if I'm saying the wrong thing, but kind of, I looked it up today online. I was like, Wednesday Worlds, and I remember doing a group ride. It was called the Wednesday Worlds, and everyone just went out as hard as they could because they had two more days to recover for the Saturday race or whatever. And so it's more about community and having everyone get together and having juniors race, the Colorado State Cycling League, which is for high school mountain bikers, which my son is part of one. He's 12. it's just trying to get more community together. And it's and what's going to be amazing about it is there's going to be world-class athletes there. This is Colorado Springs. There's, you know, you got Russells and the Leroys and the Daniels and the Micahs.
And you got the washed up.
No, not anymore.
Washed up never was. It's,
you know, veterans so and masters.
It's going to be cool to struggling. Yeah, these people that just enjoy cycling and, you know, being able to race and on a weekly basis for anywhere from a half an hour to an hour. And, you know, it's all about community.
Well, I know if you're a mountain biker, you're already wondering, where do I go get more information about this? So where can they go find out more information about the Wednesday Worlds?
Getoffmywheel.com.
Nice.
Yeah. I just started one. It's called Get Off My Wheel Productions.
It should be Jump On Your Wheel instead of Get Off My Wheel.
Maybe you guys know that. And then also runsignup.com.
Runsignup.com. Okay. So you can find out more information, but tell us, like, where are you going? When does it start? All those details.
Okay. First and third Wednesdays of June and July. I brought my notes. So June 3rd, Cheyenne Mountain State Park. And we kind of wanted to make it, I say we, Daniel and I, he's my advisor. So
unofficial,
wanted to
official.
Make it
for both of us.
You know.
Dan the man, that's what they call
easier
him.
Easier and then more difficult at the end, but it didn't work out that way because second race is Palmer Park, and there's no such thing as easy in Palmer Park. Third race, July 1st, Pulpit Rock. Fourth and final at Ute Valley, which I'm pretty excited about that because Micah, when I was the race director for the 2012 Pro XCT, which was at Ute Valley, so we're going to start and finish at Eagle View Middle School. So we're going to do a lap around the track, and then we can only use kind of half the park because of
tops usage.
Tops, yeah, usage.
That's a good one though.
Like
I'm coming to that one.
Thank you.
There's some good trails
I'll
in there.
I'll comp your entry.
All right. Yes, I'm already ahead.
But you said the cool thing is like the juniors will take one lap around, and how does it go?
It's not necessarily juniors, but their ability as far as beginners. So we have juniors that are beginners, juniors that are intermediates,
okay,
juniors that are advanced and pros. So one lap. All of them are based on around a 5 to 5.5K, 3 to 4 mile loop. So one lap beginners, two laps intermediate, three laps pros or advanced. They all have to do a lap around the track. So it's kind of like the dirt track Paris-Roubaix of Colorado Springs.
I love that.
So that's the finale. So
I love that.
Excited about
so
that.
You don't win any one particular race. You're going to win all of them,
yes,
for your division, whether it's juniors or the veterans or the masters, correct?
So based on the four races, top three, it's a points, basically, like an omnium. So first place is 10 points, second place, 9, down to 1. And so whoever has the most points after four races, top three count, in case you have a flat or two or five, one of your races you can throw out the window. And then we'll have an award ceremony and there you go.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm excited.
If that makes sense. It's
kind of... No. It sounds like
But you're hoping
just
like 100...
to explain more.
But you're hoping like 100 people show up, maybe more, to each race day? Yes?
I hope so.
And this is... Would you expect people to come from out of the area? Maybe like some Denver, Pueblo? Or are you thinking they would come from out of state? Or is this just really a ride for all the local cyclists?
I hope a little bit of both. More for the local, to be honest. But Highlands Ranch is also doing a Wednesday night series, so I didn't want to step on their toes, so we kind of made sure that we didn't have the same dates. So maybe some of the Collar Springs folks can go to Highlands Ranch, and Highlands Ranch can come to here and all over the place. But it's going to be world-class racing in a small venue. So I think it's, yeah, very intimate.
I think it's worth pointing out, too, like we've, with the Apex, we've had some of these, like, kind of advisory groups or like trail committee groups that we formed in the early years to bring people's insight in of what they wanted and things like that. And this was one of the feedback things we've gotten from our surveys, was that the event was too hard. Like, it was a multi-day, four-day stage race. This year it's a little bit different with it being a one-day mountain bike and one-day gravel. But there was this theme that people weren't ready for the Apex because it was such a big event come June. And it happened in September early, but this is something I think that will help the locals develop that confidence to get into that, because having these smaller events helps them get prepared. So it's not just like, hey, we don't have any events on the mountain bike scene until Apex hits. And so this gives them a chance to race a few times and get their feet wet, you know, in June before they can actually, you know, toe the line, even though some of them are after, but it still gives them a race opportunity to have more than just one. And I think from a coaching standpoint, that makes sense too, because obviously people get a chance to build some confidence.
Once in a while, you'll see some people jump into something like the Apex as their first race. I mean, and sometimes some people do really well with it. Deanna Mayles, for example, who works at SRAM, her very first race was a four-day stage race, you know,
on a borrowed bike
with flat pedals.
Flat pedals.
I mean, yeah. It was that's crazy. And then, and then a few
now she's
years later,
pro.
She wins it. You know, she won last year overall in the pro women.
So let's talk Apex. So, who is the Apex open to? And it's you can be an amateur or a pro, just like you just said.
Absolutely. And Daniel referenced a little bit earlier, we've changed the format a little bit. We really did a lot of surveys and just came to the conclusion there just weren't enough people that were really excited about doing like a 3 or 4 day stage race. And so we've kind of changed up the format a little bit. Last year we added a gravel race. That was well received. People really enjoyed the gravel race. It is probably the toughest gravel race in the state, I would say, the long course. It's 135 miles, well over 11,000 feet of climbing. And it is a big, big day. We had 22 people finish last year.
Out of how many?
out of almost 100.
Oh my goodness.
So there were a lot of people that just said, turned it back at the turnaround, said, no, I'm good. I'm going to go back. There are shorter versions. You don't have to do the long one.
But the long one's going to go up through Gold Camp. It goes through Phantom Canyon, and it goes out to Canyon City.
That's right. All the
and
way
back?
Out, yeah, basically it goes up Gold Camp, all the way through Cripple Creek, down Shelf Road to Canyon City, and then all the way up Phantom Canyon, and then back on Gold Camp. So, big, big day.
And it's worth noting that it's not all racing.
That's true.
It's time format, like an enduro format.
Different format. And there's a few races out there doing this. You've seen some Grand Fondos do it on the road, but you haven't seen a lot of off-road events do it. I just saw one that popped up in Steamboat Springs that's doing this format, but it's a timed sections event. So we don't time it start to finish. What we do is we stop the timing in places, and it's mainly for safety. So we don't want to people blowing through intersections or, you know, going through stop signs or taking quick turns onto paved roads. We've avoided all that by doing this timed sections format. Right after the timed section, there's an aid station. So you can, you know, race through the section, get through that finish line, stop at the aid station, hang out, fill up your water bottles, grab a snack, laugh at your buddies who you just dropped because they're catch up to you at the aid station. And then you, as a group, can just like jump on your bikes when you want and ride to the next racing segment. And that allows for, people that, it's a less lonely day, shall we say, because you get to regroup, kind of like a group ride. So you get to regroup at these aid stations. And we're, fully stocked with flow formulas and a bunch of snacks and bars and gels. So you've got all that you need out there, so you don't need outside support. But then you get to regroup with your buddies, wait as long as you want or as little as you want, and then move to the next section and then work together and race that next section. So it's almost like an enduro or a stage race built into a single day. So I think that's kind of a fun format that I'm seeing more and more. People are kind of trying to wrap their heads around. It's a slightly different thought process to race one of those, but
well,
a lot more
fun. It's probably a lot more work for the organizers as well, but it does relieve those safety issues. So what is the full course and how many rest stops are there and how many time sections?
Yeah, so that's the 135 on that gravel. There are only three timed sections. So we time the gold camp front to end. We time Phantom Canyon climb, and then we time Gold Camp going back. That's more of a downhill.
And how long are those sections?
They're 30 miles. So they're not as, it's not like we're talking to like, you're just racing for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's not like a Strava segment where you're like.
These are 2-hour segments that you're racing in. So there's a plenty of racing for those who are interested in that.
I was just upset that the one-time segment wasn't going down Shelf Road. That's about the only thing I can do these days.
We considered timing Shelf Road downhill, and then we decided that's not a great idea.
Yeah, that's
probably.
We're probably not that safe.
People are going to lose some skin if we go that direction. But that's the gravel race. So we're excited about that gravel race. That's on Saturday of Apex. And then on Sunday, we're kind of excited because we're bringing back the original big loop with Frosty Park and Jones Park trails with Captain Jack's. So we're bringing that back. Wow. It's also going to be the Colorado State Championships for Marathon Mountain Bike.
Oh, wow.
So it's the state championship as well for all categories. As I didn't mention earlier, we have $10,000 cash each day. So $10,000 cash for the gravel race, $10,000 cash for the mountain bike to the top five men and women across the line. $2,500 for the win, so pretty legit.
Yeah, super legit.
And then we do all these age groups. We do age groups each day, and the winners of the age groups, RockShox is kicking in Hammerhead GPS units. So they're $500 plus GPS computers for anyone who wins their age group. In addition to having that cash on hand. So pretty good prizes for that day. Shields has kicked in gift certificates for second place. So we've got a lot of prizes.
Do you win a multi-day for both days?
Now, there's a special prize for anyone that completes both days of racing. So we'll be revealing that later.
A special prize.
But we're really focused on these single days, and we have a lot of people that are just focused on a single day of racing versus both days. Now, we've got plenty of people that are registered for both days. I just saw that Deanna Mayles, for example, we mentioned her earlier. She's registered for both. She's like, I'm in for both. I'm going to go for it.
That's legit.
But then like Russell Finsterwald, he's like, I think I'm going to do the mountain bike race. So he's registered for the mountain bike race only.
Because he doesn't want to kill himself on the gravel day and not be able to win the mountain bike day.
Yeah, and he's coming 2 weeks earlier. He's doing Unbound gravel too. So he's probably going to be a little bit tired. But he's all signed up for the mountain bike race as of now. So we're going to have a little bit of both in terms of the pros and the amateurs. Now, you asked earlier, who can do it? Anybody can do this. We've got a long course, but we've also got shorter courses. Our mountain bike course on Sunday is only 16 miles. Very doable for just about anybody. And they still get a chance to go down Captain Jack's, kind of, one of the big trails that we always talk about here in town.
And then they get to ride this fun Sweetwater trails
and
stuff
like
that.
And they get to go Sweetwater Canyon. They get to, they climb Buckhorn and then down Captain Jack's and then the craziness of Middle Columbine, of course. Shout out to Remfe helping us out getting that trail ready right before the event. But I think there's something for everyone. We tried to make it, some really kind of prize heavy, so we get the pros in town, so people get to race against the pros. It's all mass start, so if you're starting that day, everyone rolls out together, so you get to kind of compare your time against these top pros. But we have got, you know, amateurs. We've got 14-year-old kids that have done this. We're gonna, you know, we've got all kinds of people that might do the 16-mile version or the shorter version of the gravel. And
what's the shorter version of the gravel?
65.
Okay.
65 is the shorter version of the gravel. Although we've talked about a 20-mile option. Yeah. That's a non-competitive, so no prizes or anything, but we think we might try to do a 20-mile version for people who just kind of want to dip their toe in the water.
How old was the pro winner last year, though, in the mountain bike?
That's a good
16.
Point.
What,
16. Six,
was he 16 or 17?
16.
16 yeah. years old.
Yeah.
Collar Springs guy.
Won the pro.
When he was 14, he won the U23.
Well, and now he's racing for who?
EF Onto.
EF Education.
EF.
So this is
a professional Cannondale team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Alex Snyder.
So again,
new people moving up. We
really do. I mean, I think Apex has been a great event for regional riders to make that big step to get recognized, because Apex is on that list of events that kind of nationally is looked at in terms of the results, just because of the big prize purse and a lot of pros show up, but very accessible to people that live locally here. I mean, 60% of the people that race the Apex are from Colorado. So only 40% come from outside of the state. So you get a lot of locals as well. So it's a little bit for everybody.
And it all starts at the Penrose House this
year? Yes, both days.
What a beautiful place.
Beautiful area.
If you don't know Penrose House, I mean, it's just beautiful grounds, flowers.
It is. Penrose House is beautiful. Thanks to El Pomar Foundation for giving us that venue.
It makes so much sense.
It is great. And then we've got a big, you know, a big meal there afterwards, and a big stage where we can do the awards. And it's a really nice space for us to be able to start and finish at, for sure.
That's something to really highlight, too, because I think maybe some of the people that came out in the first few years, I feel like we didn't quite have the start-finish lines dialed with where you rolled out from and where maybe the timing ended, and it was a little bit anticlimactic. And I think in the last couple of years of really bringing in the Penrose House, it feels like that really high-end, you roll out from the Penrose House, the start line, you come back there, there's a big, huge, you know, party tent set up with catering and a big screen, awards inside. And if you haven't, especially since this is a local, you know, Pedal of Springs, you know, podcast, come back and check it back out, because it really makes the vibe feel that much better. I can say that, even though I don't see much of it out working the event usually, but it is cool. Come back and see that.
Yeah, it's a good time, and it's a big finish line, and Dave Toll yelling and screaming your name.
I love Dave.
When you finish
he
it.
He stays at the lodge a lot of times when he comes for that race. So where does this fall this summer in the summer race series?
June 13 and 14, so fairly early in the summer, or you could call it late spring almost. It'll be pretty early.
Okay, and so, where are we going to go find out more about it?
You can go to pikespeakapex.com, and then that'll bring you to the Colorado Springs Sports Corp webpage. They've been a great partner over the last 3 years and really been able to help us out, kind of cut through some red tape in terms of usage of some things, as well as, and I'll give them credit for being able to use the Penrose House. I think that's kind of where their offices are, and we got, you know, that they really were able to help us out with that space. But as always, we are, you know, maybe one of the larger events in the region, but it is a nonprofit. We have a 15% of everyone's entry fee goes straight into the Pikes Peak Outdoor Recreation Alliance Trail Stewardship Fund. And over the last 6 years, we've given over $50,000 back to trails. So we have given some money to all of these organizations here in town who build trails or maintain trails. So everything from Parks and Rec to Renfe to Trails and Open Space Coalition to Medicine Wheel, all of these organizations, Renfe, they've all gotten money from through the Apex to go back and either build new trail or maintain trails that we use within what we do. So,
well, and what I know about this event and you is that those trails probably look even better when you're finished with the race than before you started, correct?
Yeah, I mean, when you send a few hundred people through on a trail, usually kind of beats it down and pats it down a bit. And a lot of people say that they love going and riding those trails right after the event because they're so well worn in and
awesome.
and a little bit more smooth and stuff. And we, you know, we work with a lot of people to make sure that those are good trails are really looking good going in, but also post event, make sure that we're fixing anything on the back end.
And you guys do a good job explaining on the website where you can stay and other important information. You have partnerships with different hotels in town, including the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort,
where we
give you a discount if you're coming to town of 25% off if you're coming for a race or a ride. What were you going to say, Jason?
Well, I was just saying, since I comped him, can he comp me?
Yes.
Yeah. We can work it out. We'll do a great trade. That sounds like a plan.
It might not be a fair trade.
Which one are you doing? Which one are you racing?
He's doing the long gravel.
I'm doing them all.
No, I'm interested. Which one are you going to race? You got to. I'm putting you on the spot. Which one are you going to race?
I'll do them all.
You're going to do them both?
Yeah,
okay, both
not?
Days. Okay.
Yeah,
Jason's in both days.
All right.
I like it.
Put him on the roster.
I mean, he's a beast. You guys are all fierce competitors.
I'm like 20 pounds. From being a beast.
Okay. You got another 6 weeks. You're ready to go.
Oh my gosh.
Deal.
So you started the Rampart Rager how many years ago? 9, 10?
It was 9 years.
9 years
but it
ago.
Was like 7 years before it even started.
Okay.
Because, you know, well, for example, right now, Santa Fe Trail is closed. It took 7 years before, after 9/11 and all that, before the Air Force Academy would allow people to go through the Santa Fe Trail, because it used to start at
Criterion
Bike Shop and then had the full loop down Shelf Road. I didn't even know Shelf Road.
Not Shelf.
It does.
Mount Herman.
Now I'm thinking, yeah, Canyon City.
Yeah.
My dad grew up in Canyon City, so now, okay. But yeah, it's been a long time, 9 years.
Okay, so we have a date finally for this year, and the three of us have put on this event in conjunction with each other: the Matheny Endurance, Bite the Bullet Sports, and the Buffalo Lodge. Now it's Get Off My Wheel.
Somebody stole your name.
Okay. Yeah. It's GetOffMyWheel.com and the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. So we moved the event a few years back to a start finish line right at the lodge, where you can literally roll out of bed to race start, which is pretty sweet.
Awesome.
And right into the garden for a neutral lap around the garden. And then we have a 50K, 75K, and 100K race up Rampart Road. And tell us more. We have a date. It is September 12th this year. Yes.
And what's interesting, because you were talking about your gravel, my gravel, your gravel, our gravels, those are climbing gravels.
Yeah.
People, when they say, what is it, 12,000 feet of climbing? But if you go out east long enough, you're going to get 4,000 or 5,000 feet of climbing. You know, you hit Rampart Range Road, you're climbing for an hour.
Yeah.
That's a climb.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phantom Canyon, that's a climb. You know, just...
I think it's interesting because of the few climbs around here, because we have several gravel events in this region, and it's like we kind of self-claimed it as the regional hill climb championships. Like last year or whatever. And it's like, because it's a 12-mile climb, and you know, most people, like I think the people that won it were just sub hour, and that's an interesting aspect. But even like Adam from Grassroots Gravel, they have like their Solar Rose Hill climb that goes up out of Beulah, same thing. It's a long climb up 12-mile road, or the Apex, how we have the climbs of Phantom Canyon. I think it's, what, 20-something mile climb from Canyon City all the way, 22 miles.
Where else can you ride a 25-mile climb on dirt?
Yeah.
These are all old railroad beds. So one of the great things is that they're climbs, but they're not crazy steep, right? Because a lot of them are old railroad beds that are going through these tunnels, and they couldn't be more than 3 or 4%. When they went. Now, Rampart's
not,
right?
Yeah.
Rampart's a little steeper.
It's a little steeper.
But it's 12%. But it's nice and windy. It's a great climb. A lot of I see a lot of pros out there really testing themselves on that. It's a pretty famous climb right out of town.
Yeah, and that's what's unique to offer about it. Some people, it's a deterrent, but also it's like if you're doing it as an experience, it's something where you can, the views into Black Canyon and all the stuff of Williams Canyon that you're seeing above Manitou and where the cliff dwellings and stuff are, without going up there on a bike, I've driven it several times, and I would almost rather ride it 10 times over, you know, driving it, because it's like you can actually see that stuff and get up in. I think it's almost like I see Pikes Peak as being a shapeshifter when you're on Rampart Range Road, because it seems like it's always changing which direction you're facing, and it's so cool to see it from Rampart. And then even like when you do like Apex, you're south of Pikes Peak and you're coming from that area, and it's like you see it from the Canyon City aspect. And it's so this region allows so many different varieties to kind of like ride and climb, and it doesn't have to be, you know, go out and race fast gravel, but it's also like, I would say, is some people that haven't seen the upper section of the Rampart, like people always say, like, oh, bring the old course back. We like doing the loop. I agree. It's fun to do the big loop. It brings its own challenges. But I would say, like, the loop we found up there that's like the lollipop, if you haven't done the long course, is so good. Like, from even coming from a mountain biker that dabbles in gravel, it's, you know, really narrow Jeep roads, little aspen alleys that you're riding between and stuff like that. So it's like if you can get past the medium course and you want an adventure for a day, it's like the long course is a really good way to see, you know, 9 to 10,000 feet, but still in like the trees and aspens and stuff.
And the prize purse for the Rampart Ranger has been nothing to sneeze at either. I know we're still finalizing details for the prize purse sponsorship, and the more we get, the more we give, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But it's typically been at least $2,500.
$2,500
prize purse equal male, female. Yeah, so, and we get some great racers out there, but it's also open to even e-bikes if they want to participate, but just not for a prize. And so what has been exciting about the field that's joined that event? Because it's for amateurs or pros as well.
For sure. I mean, we have urban legends here. I mean, Katie Compton's won it, Leroy
Popowski.
The last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, Griffin Hoppin won it the last couple years. He's the wild card into the Grand Prix, Lifetime Grand Prix this year. So it's like he's a local rider that went to CC and came and mopped up taking the KOM prize and winning the overall. So it's kind of, you know, you get some high-end level athletes as well. So yeah,
for sure.
Deanna Males won the women's field.
Oh yeah.
And I love riding up there and videotaping it all from my e-bike and catching people on the ride. And I find the most interesting people at the back of the ride that are, you know, they ride it all the time and they just want to do the race, or they're coming from out of town and they just want to test themselves. But that's where a lot of really great stories are as well. So it's for everybody. I mean, it's if it's your first race, it's still a great one to test yourself on that hill. We have the rest stops at the 50K turnaround, and also at the 75K turnaround, which serves them on the way out. Yep. And on the way back. And then we have a really great party at the finish. So
I would say something, I may put you on the spot here, but one thing we've done, tell me if we're doing it again, but we've done bottle hand ups. Are we still doing that?
Yeah, I thought so.
That's something unique.
It's like the VIP service.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
it's great.
We're out there. I mean, some of the top guys don't take advantage of that, but I actually usually man that first rest stop, and we love to sit. We get a bunch of cheerleaders out there to hand off bottles, and you can, you know, get some good fuel. And so for those that do stop, they're going to have a great time.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it's like an event for the elites, but also for the everybody's. But it's like a way to make it special is, you know, it is a smaller grassroots event that's been around for, you know, over 9-10 years, but it's like to do something like that, a lot of times, you know, to do an event and have support is not what everybody has, right? And some of the pros will have somebody come and give them a hand up and they can keep moving and go fast. And we've tried to do that with Jason kind of leading that charge and being like, hey, we're going to get bottles and hand them up to people. You know, we had a bunch of USA Cycling bottles back in the day that we handed up and did that. So it's like, any way to make the participant feel, you know, special kind of in that process, even though it's local, because that's like pro service to be able to ride by and top of the climb and just be able to grab a bottle and keep moving if you want to.
I think that that's one of the things that's really special about all these events is when you have people that actually love to race themselves, have experience doing, and people that love to ride in this community and know the trails and everything so well, it just brings about a passion with that just homegrown spirit of these are local race organizers putting on a local event because we just love the area and want to highlight it.
For sure, and I think that's super important with the Apex as well, because I know on the first few years with the
Apex, it's, you know, the spirits are not.
Such a hard race.
Yeah,
there was kind of a little disconnect. Well, you have all these super hardcore athletes are doing this race, and you know, if you're a cycling enthusiast, you should just do it and enjoy yourself. You don't have to get mm-hmm. first, and it doesn't matter if you're the Lantern Rouge or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if there's 8,000 feet of climbing, or what is it, 12,600 feet of climbing, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be flat, and you don't have to be a climber. You don't have to win. You just have to enjoy yourself. And 99% of the people, the cycling enthusiasts in the world, are not pros.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is there? 9 million people.
I don't know the stats.
People,
but well, the thing is,
ride bicycles.
There's a phrase of like, are you competing or are you completing, right? And yeah. It's like, yeah. Both are okay. And even the people that, I would say this, but it's like people that think they're competing are still somewhat completing compared to, there's always somebody faster, right?
You can
go out there and you can always go out there and hard charge, but it's like there's a place for everybody, right? It's like, that's why it's like Mike and I talk in depth about how can we make it possible to have a shorter loop, because there's people that say maybe mountain bike that would come out and do the gravel section of the Apex, right? They're not quite ready. I've done mountain bike skills camps with people that aren't quite ready to the technicality of what Colorado Springs mountain biking has, but it's like, okay, I can get out there and start with gravel, and that's like the kind of the easing into it, like dipping your toes in the water a little bit. Yeah. And it's like,
so for the Rampart Rager, they can go to bicycleresort.com and click on events and find the link to that. Is it also rampartrager.com?
Rampartragergravel.com.
Okay, rampartragergravel.com to find out more about it.
Yep.
Pre-rides, what are we doing for training? What do we have to get ready for it? We've got the Wednesday Worlds, but we've got Matheny Endurance is coaching. Are you doing any pre-rides this year for the Pikes Peak Apex to train for it?
We'll probably announce something that we'll do in conjunction. There has been a discussion about trying to do something with it. We actually have a new sponsor with Toyota. That
wow.
we've got Toyota sponsoring this year, and they wanted to do something that might be a little bit of a preview ride. We haven't sorted that out yet. But there's other events in the area, right? I mean, I think there's like Fandango up in Castle mm-hmm. Rock. That's only 30 minutes away. I mean, there are other events in the region that take place before the Apex.
Yep.
But yeah, go ride up in the canyon. I mean, we've published all of our courses online. I know the Rampart Rager has as well. And there's always places to ride that are open to the public, and go try them out. Bring your buddies.
I would almost say too, like, you know, a plug for Buffalo Lodge is that's the start of Rampart Rager, but also there's a bike shop there. There's bike parking. There's that stuff. So if you want to go pre-ride, I know some of the local teams do that, like the COS Racing and Soco Velo. They'll go there and do the rides from the lodge and do partial sections of the course and things like that. So it's like, definitely encourage you to do that. I've had people that came to the race that have texted me like, hey, when are we going to do an official pre-ride? But it's like, you know, you can go do that at any time almost. But it's like what Micah said, it's like the more events, like we've already had the Bear up in Denver. It's already been a race. But it's like the more you get in and do some of these early season things, the more ready you are for the other ones as they come along. So it's like, don't wait until they're right around the corner, because I mean, we're looking outside right now, and we got a late April snowstorm, but it'll be June before you know it. So, and the races will be here.
It'll be almost 70 on Sunday, 2 days from now. So there's plenty of beautiful days out there.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Daniel. And thank you for listening to the Pedal the Springs podcast. Until next ride. Pedal the Springs is brought to you by the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, the only bicycle-themed lodging and must-stay for cyclists coming to Colorado. Check us out at bicycleresort.com for more information. Be sure to check out the show notes for links we mentioned in this episode, and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out the other fine podcasts at studio809podcast.com, the voices of the Pikes Peak region. Pedal the Springs is produced by Studio 809 Podcasts and recorded at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs.